And we're off, I think. We're kicking it off now. It's 9 a.m. here in Los Angeles. It is Wednesday, April 3rd, AD 2024. Tomorrow is the Men's Forum, guys. Men's Forum's first Thursday, 7 p.m. at Bond in Los Angeles. Okay? Let me make sure that we're going and that I can hear myself. Nice. Pardon me. It is going to be a fun show, hopefully. You can call in 1-888-775-3773 if you are in the hours of 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time, Pacific Daylight Time, Monday through Friday. That's when the Hake Report is live. Right after the Jesse Lee Peterson show every day. Cool, huh? Joel Friday TV is live right after Hake. And then after him is, and that's Monday through Thursday, 11 to 12 Pacific time at this point. American Anchor, baby, after that. You guys can super chat to Hake by going to buymeacoffee.com/TheHakeReport or other places that you know all about already. Rumble Rants, Ko-fi, K-O-fi, Cash App. I did see a Cash App donation come in yesterday. So thank you guys. James Anton Hake on Cash App. James Anton Hake on Cash App. Okay, so what will we cover today? Based Stephen Miller, who's one of my favorite Jews in the Trump administration, a little bit younger than me. He's a smart young man. And he's standing up for the whites in the in the courts. Wow, nice, huh? Speaking of courts, are federal judges taking Christians' side or only when the Christians are liberals? Only when they're liberal lamos who feeding the quote-unquote poor. I'm shaking my head. I have to... an interesting couple of stories for you guys. Up in Oregon, there's a church feeding the poor 6 days a week. The so-called poor, the so-called hungry. Give me a break. And there's a, and under the First Amendment, they're trying to force it. The city doesn't like it. The neighbors don't like it. They're feeding illegals down in Arizona. And they're pretending like it's an attack on Christianity that the mayor, the female mayor, doesn't want them feeding the migrants, illegals. First Liberty Institute is supporting that mess. Never heard of First Liberty Institute that I know of. And I may revisit this evil Obama thing. Obamacare. He's promoting Obamacare recently. And, of course, your calls, guys. And I have some, you know, nice music. My opinion, nice music. Maybe, one of them is really nice. One of them is just fine, I think, normal. Starfly 59. And then one of them is... I wonder whether it's a good idea for me to play. It's like 6 minutes long. It's Wolf Eyes Wednesdays, guys. Wolf Eyes Wednesdays. And Work Hard Wednesdays. So hopefully I'll be able to get to that. I really like it. I was singing it to myself. You don't really sing it, though. But anyway, guys, let's get right on with the show!
1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, it's the Hake Report, the Hake Report, la la la. Oh, it's the Hake Report, the Hake Report, la la la.
Hey guys!
Oh, it's the Hake Report, the Hake Report, la la la.
So, how you guys doing? I'm fine. I got my Henley on. I learned the word Henley from our resident fashion expert, Hassan. It means it has buttons but no collar. At least not a fancy collar. Am I live on Facebook? Shout out to the Facebook crew. I see I'm on IG, Instagram. Am I on Facebook? Anyway, Let me get to a call or two before we get into these clips and stories. I do have some clips to play. Yes, I am on Facebook. Denny in Bulgaria is on the line, and he has always has some interesting lessons and stories for us. Denny, thank you for calling and holding there. What's up?
Good day, Mr. Hick. I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine as well, thank you.
Glad to hear. Mr. Hick, I'm calling with a little bit of a grim information, but I think it's useful nonetheless. I saw you on Twitter, I think it was Twitter, and you commented about how bad it is and evil it is that people being dependent on their parents for social benefits, I think, healthcare, something like that.
Yeah.
I would like to highlight something. Maybe it's just an alternative point of view, but I think it might be interesting. Actually, Mr. Aik, I don't think this is a bad thing.
And, now, we're talking about adult children. We're not talking about underage children. Of course, underage...
I'm talking about young adults that are body able. I'm not talking about people with disabilities.
Right.
I'm not talking about, you know, people with issues. I'm talking about normal body-abled people.
Yep.
That happen to be young and over 18. So, actually, to be honest, and I apologize in advance if this sounds a little bit gruesome. It's not my intention, but sometimes it comes that way.
Okay.
But I think that's a good thing because, well, we do have wars all over the world, but it's not like it was, you know, before. Before their life expectancy was shorter,
yeah,
things were much more gruesome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with all that craziness, people are getting softer and softer.
Yeah,
this
true.
Is the natural selection, and I absolutely welcome it because it just like removes those that aren't really good at stuff and they don't want to learn. It allows them to like survive, because this isn't alive. This isn't living. This is just surviving. It's just pointless existing. So it allows them to survive. It's a good example. It's a good case study. And it shows pretty well who's with who. Like, if I'm... And by nature, I'm a lazy person. But I've always tried to have at least two jobs to support my lifestyle. So that's the only reason I had the two jobs. And in all fairness, it just shows you what kind of people you're dealing with, and it's much easier to distinguish them from one another. So I would personally like to have that. I hope I'm making sense.
You would like to have where the young people who are depending on their parents, and in the case I brought up, it's a little bit different for me because I was bringing up the government subsidizing
it's always the government
adults under their parents' so-called health insurance until age 26, forcing the insurance companies to cover adults who are 20 up to 26 years old and living with their parents or whatever.
Well, we don't have this here per se. We just, like, once you're 18, you're not being taken care of the government, but your parents can still take care of you.
Oh, okay.
So I guess but this just highlights the contrast between those who are able to do something for themselves,
yeah,
and those that aren't willing to do anything for themselves. And they just rely on their parents and they rely on someone else.
So you're fine and with them. You're fine with them being taken care of, because then it, at least they don't die?
Because that sends a signal to me who I'm dealing with.
Oh, okay.
So it's easier for me to understand who should I be close to, who should I not be close to, what can I expect from different people. It it removes that need for me to research others, right? Who's good for what.
So because then they're not...
With that kind of...
What is that? What do you mean by that? Do you mean, like, you find out that they're depending on their parents and it tells you... Okay, this is not a trustworthy person? Or do you not run into those people?
Actually, yes. Yeah, I'm not judging them. I'm just not around them because this person can't contribute anything.
Why aren't you around them? Is it by choice that you're not around them? Is it because you're working you're not around them? Or you don't have to deal with them at the job? Because they're, if they were working at a job, choice. Are they lazy?
No. Who I'm working with, I'm totally fine with all kind of people that I work with. I can work with Hitler and with Stalin. I don't care. When I'm at work, I'm at work, and I'm over there to get my paycheck.
What are you? Are you Donald Trump? You could work with anybody? That's awesome. work with Hitler and Stalin? That's like Trump can work with Putin, Little Rocket Man, Kim Jong-un.
Everybody.
And all these other NATO people. Anyway, so I'm just trying to get your point.
As long as it's about the job, I couldn't care less. It's about my free time and my side job, because that aside, I have a side thing. I got, bank loans, and I purchased property, and now I'm renting it.
Cool.
And
wow.
From time to time, I have to fix it, because you know how it is.
You got
to
fix it, yeah. It's awesome.
You have to depend on people every now and then.
True. People
give
help
you a
out.
Better offer. Say again, please.
People can help you out in ways, that you're not familiar with, or it's not your forte, or you're not interested, and they like doing it, so they help you. People are willing to help sometimes.
So but there are this specific group of, it's like spineless people that they like to help because they have nothing better to do. But they don't have the skill set to help with anything. And I'm really avoiding that specific group of people. And that specific group of people is always depending on their parents. Always.
Okay.
So I think it's a good thing that we have this contrast. Because now I know who I can rely on, who I can call on. Is it, in my interest to do something nice, something good about them, like help them with a job or something? Because if you help that kind of a person to get a job, and that kind of person messes it up, well, then it's your fault.
Right. Then you have problems. I think I'm following you. So now you're saying that it's good that these people are depending on their parents, because if they weren't depending on their parents, they would be maybe working for you or working with you, but not actually working, and they would be a burden on you. It's better they're a burden on their parents than on you.
Exactly.
Okay.
As I mentioned, their parents are the one that put them in that situation to begin with.
Yeah.
So it's only fair for them to take care of them.
True. Yeah, we shouldn't be. Yeah, I can respect that position. I will say, if their parents didn't take care of them, it would be a fire under them. It would light a fire under them. Some of them, anyway, that they would have to work and hopefully have to become good workers.
Yes, because once you have no other option, you will have to work. I remember when, because normally, I studied economics here in college. And it's like this unwritten rule that when you study economics, you have to work. Because otherwise, what are you studying about? You have to know the job, you have to know taxes, you have to know those things.
Yeah.
So every single one of us...
Unless you're a Marxist. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, we're trying to get rid of those.
Yeah.
They're still around.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, not a lot, but still around. So, we had this mentality back then. And even now, I'm talking to people that are at college, first, second year. So, they're still working, but this is the mentality that the parents placed in them, to say it like that.
Yeah.
Like, you have to work. There's no other way around it.
And the parents placed that you have to work, there's no other way around it, on whom?
On their children.
Yeah.
And it's a pleasure to work with those people.
Right.
I used to work with people that are there just because they had nothing better to do. Like they have rich parents or rich husbands, women with rich husbands.
Oh, yeah.
They have nothing else to do, so they go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's okay to work with those people as well, but often it's a little bit disturbing.
Yeah.
So I'm actually happy that those social programs are existing because it highlights, like, in seconds, what kind of a person you're dealing with.
Almost.
You don't have to guess.
Exceptions to the rule, I guess, but you're right.
Every rule has exceptions.
Right.
Every rule has an exception. So, yeah, but most of the time, not all, but most, you know. So most of the time it's like that. And this is why I'm actually happy about that.
I think that that's a fair position to take. And that's the right attitude to have, because we shouldn't be bothered inwardly by other people being lazy or encouraged to be lazy. I just do think that it's a social ill, and it breeds a social ill of, it's creating more people trained not to have to work, you know, trained that they don't actually have to work. Whereas if it's more sink or swim, more people will be trained with the right attitude of a strong work ethic, I think.
You are correct, but sometimes, by profession, I'm an accountant.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I have lazy colleagues. Everybody has lazy colleagues.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm actually encouraging laziness, because every now and then we have troubles. All right? We have troubles with documents, with the calculations. Those are all fixable troubles, right? Nobody died because, you know, the account didn't match, right? It's fixable. But, you know, those troubles can cause other troubles.
Yeah.
So when I have a lazy colleague around me, I'm always encouraging to be lazier. Because when I have a trouble, I can put that on the lazy guy.
Oh.
There's a way to spin it. Yeah.
Because he has time.
And when my supervisor asked me what happened, I'm like, well, you know, actually, I wasn't supposed to do it. I just took it out of the kindness of my heart. She knows I'm lying. I just took it out of the kindness of my heart. And but she, you know, the lazy guy, let's call him X. X was supposed to do it. I just took it because I'm such a nice guy. Everybody knows I'm lying. But they go with it anyway because they don't like laziness too.
So are you saying you blame? Are you saying you blame the mistake on the lazy guy, or you give the work to work of fixing it on the lazy guy?
No. I'm taking the work from there, and if a mistake is made, it doesn't happen often, but it happens. Everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah.
So when a mistake happens, I'm putting it on the lazy guy.
You're blaming the lazy guy.
Yeah. Oh. I'm not proud of myself. I'm just using it as an example.
Oh, okay. Okay, I disavow.
So
are you lying when you blame the lazy guy?
Of course I'm lying. Everybody knows I'm lying.
Right. But, and they go with it because they don't like the lazy guy either.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're willing to tolerate it. And this is like everywhere.
That's interesting, man. Okay. I appreciate interesting call, man.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, Mr. Haig. Hope your audience enjoyed it too. God be with you, and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
And regards to your colleague.
Yeah, you too, Danny in Bulgaria. Appreciate you, man. Take care.
Right on. Goodbye, sir.
Bye. Somebody asks, Haig, who is the lazy? Who is your lazy colleague, Haig? I think I'm the lazy colleague. Terrible. Terrible. I just thought, Nick, help! He'll probably run in here thinking I'm serious when I'm just reenacting. Terrible. Michael in Canada is on the line over here. Canada! Oh, see, he just stepped in. I was just playing, Nick. I was just saying I'm the lazy guy and he's the one who comes and fixes stuff and blames it on Haig. Rightly so, though. Michael in Canada, how you doing?
Fine.
Nice.
How are you, Haig? It's been a long time.
It's good to hear from you, man.
Thank you.
I feel like I heard you. Did you call Joel Friday or?
Yes.
Nice. I thought you recently.
Yeah. I had a question for you.
Yes.
I didn't talk about to Sean about it. I just thought about it before you take my call.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that nostalgia is a call from God to go back to the Father?
Oh, I think it's a sign. Nostalgia is a when you feel it, it could be like a reminder to snap out of it and return to the Father, meaning your Father, or return to like the Heavenly Father, to God. I think that nostalgia is a temptation to long for the old days, or long for friends who aren't with you right now, or somebody who's dead, or whatever. I think that that's a temptation from like hell, to get emotional. But you could treat it as a reminder to snap out of it and come back to the present. And that returning to the Father, I think. You think that it's a longing for God? That might be.
Jesse talked about children.
Go ahead.
Like they live in the present, they're with God. And when your mother makes you angry and you become someone who lives in thought, then you live in hell.
Say that one more time.
When you... Jesse always said that the kids are living in the present and they're with God. And when the mother makes them angry and they become living in thoughts, that's when they live in hell.
Yeah.
So when you get this feeling of nostalgia, because in my case, nostalgia is not a bad feeling, neither a good feeling. It's just...
Nostalgia is
like
kind of
you were more in the present, you know?
Nostalgia is, to me, I kind of find it a pleasant feeling.
Yeah.
Because I only feel it on Saturdays when I have a day off and I have... what is that? Lounge? Not lounging time. It's an L word. Lazy, not lazy time. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
On the weekends.
Yeah, on the weekends. Or maybe after work or whatever. I don't really have time to
when
be nostalgic when
beach.
I'm working. When I'm at the beach. Yep, exactly.
Did you go a lot to the beach when you were young?
No, only occasionally. Nope. And I would get sunburned almost every time. Kind of bad, too.
You're a red hair person, eh?
Yeah, I am.
You know, they all talk about racism, but I don't know nobody who had it harder than the red hair kid.
That's right.
Where I'm from in Canada, they were always the one who got bullied at school because of their red hair.
Yeah.
it's a race thing, you know?
Right. They call me freckle face. They call me redhead. They would say redheads or hotheads. Redheads or hotheads, and it would make me mad for them to say that. So I guess I would prove them right. Terrible.
I'm short, so everybody was picking on me for that, too.
Nice.
But I'm not red hair.
Yup. So, they were picking on you for being a hothead?
No, for being short.
Short-tempered. Yeah, that's what I mean.
No, I'm short. I'm short.
You're literally short. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I didn't picture you being short.
I'm very short, and like 5'4".
Nice. And no wonder you beat up your dad.
I know how to use my hands.
Yeah. You're kind of like Mike Tyson. I think he's kind of short, but he knows how to use his body to get those punches in. Shout out to Mike Tyson. He's my competitor. Anyway.
Nah. You don't get competitor. You're the best at what you're doing, eh?
Thank you, man. Appreciate
that.
That's
for real. I really thought this. It's real for me.
Thank you, man. That's
for
kind.
Me, anyways.
Cool.
I'm the one who was doing funny super chats to Jesse about dropping morals and values.
Oh, are you? Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Docs.
Yeah, it was me.
Okay.
But on a serious note, last week I was at work, and at work when you finish our shift, we need to take our sheet because I cut steel with laser. And
wow.
There's sheets, nesting that they call the sheets. So what I got to cut and
all metal.
This. And I got sheets. So when I finish the work, I take all my sheets and I got a report to do. And I stample it together, and you get to write your name and the date. But one day last week, I didn't write my name on my report. So the next shift, the night shift, came, and someone write a name for me on the sheet. It wasn't a nice name, you know?
Oh, okay.
So I take my sheet, I see this, and I'm like, okay. At first, I was very angry, you know? And that's what I want to say about dropping morals and values.
Okay.
You can't disrespect me. That's one of my values, a bad value.
Yeah.
But about dropping it, I did drop in it. So I see the guy coming in, and I confront him about it. And at first, I was like, I'm going to do something to him. He will regret it.
Yeah.
But when I was there, I was like, don't let this person come into his hell. Let you come in into his hell. Because it's for him, it's funny, and like, he can get bad thoughts about you. It's not your problem, you know?
Yeah.
And when I thought about that, I was so wet. So I did nothing. At first, I was like, that was you? Do you have respect for me? What about it? What's up? Which one do? And in a second, I became poker face, didn't say nothing, and I said, okay. And I take my car, go back home, didn't think about it. But I was proud of myself, man, because when things like that happen, sometimes or usually, I get angry, and I confront the people, and I told them, let's go outside. But I didn't do it this time. Maybe it seems nothing, but for me, it's something.
Yeah.
Because I know my temper and all that. And Jesse really, really helped me with that. Another one for you, Joe. Think about it.
Yeah, you're talking about Joe in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Who Joe in Phoenix is trying to do that too. He quotes Romans 12:19, I think. Romans 12:19, because a pastor friend of his said quoted that. And Romans 12:19 says something to the effect of, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Nice, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's a nice story. So you're proud of yourself? You're proud? I can understand you being proud of yourself.
I didn't do nothing.
Yeah. That's a nice story. I like how you say that you handled yourself. You confronted him about it, asked him if it was him, and then you questioned, asked him what he wants to do about it. But then you did nothing about it afterwards.
Yeah, because I was like,
because you caught yourself.
Why doing this?
Yeah,
there's no benefits behind it.
No way. You just making problems out of nothing at your job. People have a right to mess around and clown you. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
If you knew, man, the type of people that I'm around and what I'm living right now, it's just a blessing, man, that I discovered Jesse and all of you guys, for real.
Yeah.
There's a lot of violence. And now I don't want it anymore, man.
Well, good, man. Keep with the, you're doing JLP's silent prayer?
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Not every day. That's why I don't tell him. I know he's going to tell me something and die.
That's funny, man.
real quick, hey.
Yes.
I don't want to say that. If I give you super chats, because I don't want you to do something for me for nothing. Can you go check something for me? It's in Canada. There's a laboratory where they play with virus and all this thing.
Uh huh.
and there's some Chinese spies that got caught from there to intentionally share scientific information with China for the Ebola genetic sequence. And that's, you know, I'm not very good in English.
Uh-huh.
But if you can go and check for me and just tell everybody what is it, because I think it's very important that everybody knows that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you for the tip and the request. You don't have to super chat me for looking into chip to that, but if you want to super chat, you're welcome to.
I'll do it.
Yeah. I will hope to remember that. You can email me too to remind me and send a follow-up email if I don't respond.
I'll give you a super chat. I'm better at writing than talking. I'll give you a super chat and tell you all the details.
That sounds good. I appreciate that, man.
Thank you. Have a nice day, Ake.
You too. Michael in Canada. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, so let's dive into this stuff, guys. Otherwise, I will not get to it. And I want to see if I can play Wolf Eyes Wednesday. Based Stephen Miller on race. He is my, okay, so Jesus, Paul, the Apostle, Jesse Lee Peterson, Dennis Prager's, I like him. I'm naming my favorite Jews. Is Dennis Prager my fourth favorite Jew? Bibi Netanyahu, he might be my fifth favorite Jew. But I think Stephen Miller might be in front of them. But he's sort of young. So he's kind of young to be... Oh, King David. Is he alive? He lives. I don't know. He's like my fifth or sixth or maybe even fourth favorite Jew, Stephen Miller. And not Steez Stephen Miller. I'm talking about the bald one who's sort of thin and... He squints his eyes, and he just manhandles the media. He's in the Trump administration. Here, clip 32, Hassan. This is from CNN, Commie Nonsense Network. Shout out to CNN. And this is an interview between Jake Tapper, not a Christian. He would be my, 19th favorite Jew, Jake Tapper. Right behind Groucho Marx, who's actually, I like him. Axios is HBO affiliated. They're liberal. They're relatively new, I think. Axios national political correspondent Alex Thompson. Not the manliest of men, but, you know. Breaks down his new reporting about former Trump aide, who will, I think, again, be a Trump aide, Stephen Miller. Stephen Miller, I like him because I'll tell you why I like him maybe after this clip because I want to play the clip. With CNN's Jake Tapper, this is like a 3-minute clip, so watch this. Check it out.
Out there who desires a return of former Trump White House aide Stephen Miller to the seats of power.
Yes.
New reporting from Axios says that Miller has a new mission should Mr. Trump win re-election. Miller wants to dramatically change how the Department of Justice looks at the issue of race. Dismantling civil rights era laws to turn the focus on what Miller and his allies call anti-white racism.
Yep.
Axios' Alex Thompson broke the story. He joins us now. What exactly is he planning here?
Yeah, essentially what he wants to do is in response to the Black Lives Matter era, he wants to make the federal government be all lives matter, which essentially is if there is any program, not just in the government, but in private enterprise that is meant to benefit minorities, make sure to remedy some past injustices of racism, he is basically saying that is implicitly discriminating against white people. And he's already started this. He's already started suing. He filed a civil rights complaint under the Civil Rights Act of 1964 against the NFL for their Rooney Rule, which requires you to interview minority candidates for open coaching positions, arguing that's inherently discriminating against non-minority or white candidates who want those jobs.
So is his position that there is no discrimination in America today against minorities? I mean, these as you note, I mean, this is about the historical legacy of racism in the United States, not just past, but current.
What he's saying is that there is discrimination against, you know, black and brown people, but his argument is that there's also a lot of discrimination against white people, and that these civil rights era laws that are meant to basically remedy the past injustices of white racism against black people, against brown people, have ignored this plight of anti-white racism. And so what he wants to do is, and what they do is they justify it as saying, we're going to make civil rights era laws colorblind. And so we are going to, you know, and that these laws have not been used to defend white people.
Hmm. In response to your reporting, Trump's campaign said, quote, as President Trump has said, all staff, offices, and initiatives connected to Biden's un-American policy will be immediately terminated. How expansive would this overhaul be in some cases of now established basic civil rights?
Oh, it could be incredible. And this is not just DEI offices or, you know, HR trainings. Like, what we're talking about is almost any federal government program that is meant to help minorities, people of color, even just women, access federal funds in a way that they haven't historically been able to. Those could be completely canceled. In fact, this was not Stephen Miller's doing, but just recently, it was a Trump-affiliated group has managed to stop a Commerce Department program that allowed minorities to access business funds. Essentially, they said, this is inherently discriminatory. You have to let white people access these funds, too. You could see basically any minority program in the federal government outlawed under a Trump administration.
Hmm. Nice. Right on. Shout out to Stephen Miller and our greatest president, Trump. If we can't get rid of these anti-discrimination laws, let's use it so that it's actually used fairly. I have heard of cases where whites and men have sued and won for discrimination because I'm white or because I'm a man or because I'm a Christian. So that does happen occasionally, but mainly it's used to pretend that, oh, blacks are not getting as much housing. There was this story that the black veterans were not accessing, and Commie Nonsense Network reported on it, and I don't have it in front of me, but I'll tell it to you as I recall it. Black veterans were not winning these like loans as much as white veterans or whatever. And this loan company that was affiliated with the veterans, you know, former military, so-called veterans, people who so-called serve the country, give me a break. Some of them did. They were not judging based on race. They were judging based on other things. Because per capita, these blacks were not as responsible with their money, long story short, basically. Isn't that interesting? But they pretend, oh, it's because it's racist. Oh, blacks are dying at the hands of police twice as much per capita, or maybe three times as much per capita. Well, blacks are felons at like four times per capita, maybe three times per capita. Winning the loans, Hake is speaking about GI Bill from World War II. No, it's a more recent thing. I'm not talking about the GI Bills. I'm talking about something quite recent. Oh, Starve Baby may know about it. Navy Federal Credit Union. Yeah, so you can look into that if you like. Navy Federal Credit Union. I think that's the one that sort of rings a bell. Thank you, Starve Baby. You can call in 888-77-JESSE. I'm on JLP's network. 1-888-775-3773. But right on Rooney Rule, the NFL trying to kiss up to the blacks and say, ooh, no black coaches, so we need to interview and give preferential treatment to the wannabe black coaches. Rooney Rule. So he sued them. Based Stephen Miller. See? That's one Jew who stands up for the whites. Shout out to the Jews and the whites. make civil rights laws colorblind. I think we should favor the whites because in your face, I think I would love to see an all-white administration, all-white man Supreme Court, just all-white Trump man Trump administration. And but Trump wouldn't do that, of course. But it would be because it doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter. You don't need representation. You need people who are fair-minded and going to do it right. And who is more fair-minded per capita than the white men? The men are more logical, less emotional, less into the phony identity over what's right. Identity over what's right. Think about that. There's what's right, and then there's what seems to be worldly-wise best for you. Say the illegals. The illegals, what seems to be worldly-wise best for them is to come here and take advantage. Because we're open door to be taken advantage of. But what's right is they don't come. Or they, whatever. Be for what's right. It's not about, I once asked, and then I'll get to calls, guys. I once asked a teacher of mine, when I was a young, pretty ignorant whippersnapper, sophomore in high school, taking Spanish 2. I won't dox his name, I guess, the teacher. Although it was like 30 years ago, 28 years ago. You're a Democrat? Why? That's what I asked him. Because it somehow came out that he's a Democrat. And he's all, slightly effeminate. Maybe because I'm not a rich white man. And he's pretty white. He seemed completely white to me. He looked like, he reminded me of, who's that guy I don't like? But he committed suicide. And he was a comedian. Robin Williams. He sort of reminded me of Robin Williams. I'm not a rich white man, blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, what does that have to do with what's right? I didn't say that to him, but I was like taken aback by his appealing to his financial position and his identity. Well, I don't know if he said white man, but rich something something. Like you have to be rich to be a Republican? I guess you have to have sense to be a Republican. And a lot of times when you have sense, you make money because you have the good sense to work and save money and be responsible. And you, because kind of you have to, a lot of business people become Republicans, businessmen. So I was like, Or when there was another time, speaking of what's right versus just politics, believing in politics, I forwarded something from Bond to some of my friends, my soccer friends. A Weitzikan soccer friend. Weitzikan. He's white, but he's full-blown Mexican. I sent him this thing after Trayvon because the Black Panthers were calling for trying to raise a reward or get a reward, put a reward on the head of George Zimmerman. And I think JLP, this was back during the George Zimmerman days, before I even worked at Bond. JLP said, wanted to put out a petition to the president, evil Obama at the time, to condemn this or look into the Black Panthers or somebody, some black group. That you can't be calling for persecution of a white Hispanic George Zimmerman, just because he shot Trayvon in self-defense before he was even tried for it. Because the blacks were pretending like he was an innocent black victim, Trayvon Martin. And that George Zimmerman was racist and shot him because he was black. Or followed him because he was black and all this dumb stuff. Just tools, blind brainwashed tools of the media is what these blacks are/were. who got caught up in that mess. And my friend was like, I have different politics from you. And it's like a cheap shot. It's like a cheap points thing to sign this thing. And I didn't know politics. I wasn't paying attention to politics. I just knew that it was wrong to be calling for a reward on getting Trayvon Martin. It's before he was arrested and tried, I guess. They lied nonstop about Zimmerman. They still act like Trayvon was innocent. They still like act like he was murdered. These people in the media, I think Nancy Pelosi's daughter or somebody, some woman's daughter, some liberal woman's, liberal old woman daughter who's also old, said Trayvon was murdered. Wrote it in Huffington Post, I remember reading several years ago. I'm like, how are you guys able to say this? And everybody is saying it. So what, you're going to sue everybody for libel and slander? Because it was not a murder. So evil. Hey, quit crying and take a call, says Frederick in L.A. And Frederick in L.A. is on hold. So it's right versus wrong. And my friend tells me, my politics is different from you. Basically, you're a liberal, and so you believe in liberal politics. You don't believe in right and wrong, is what I'm getting from that. It's what I'm getting from that. And this guy is Mexican, and a lot of, like Nick, the American Anchor Baby, has pointed out, a lot of them just point out that they think that, oh, you know, if you're desperate, you just, it's okay to steal, it's right to steal. But you're not desperate. You're not desperate. And I don't know if it's even still is right to steal. There's always a way. Huffington Post always lying. Yeah, they got sold. So I just found it interesting that there's right and wrong, and your politics should be based on right and wrong, not who you are. But a lot of times, who you are means that you have a twisted sense of right and wrong, because you're caught up in the family, the race, the friends, your fallen state emotions and attractions and sick things. How do you know he's Mexican? He may be Arabic. Oh no, I know this guy is Mexican. So let me get to Frederick in Los Angeles, California. Frederick, how are you doing, man? Nice to hear from you.
What's going on, hey?
Hey.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, I got a question. You say Republicans are for what's right. Is that what you said?
That's why I'm Republican, is because I'm for what's right. A lot of Republicans aren't for what's right. But yeah, I said, when I was, the Republicans that I knew growing up was because it was for what's right. It's what's right. Right versus wrong.
Okay, and where did you get your morals and values from of what's right?
Common sense.
Oh, good. You got common sense. You got morals and values this week.
I have morals and values this week?
I'm asking you a question, yes.
Yeah, this week I have morals and values.
Oh, but why is it that the Republicans that we see, like Jesse say, we are all sinners and we're no better than a pedophile, and Jesus done forgave us for our sins. We can run after a rabbit and we don't have to be right. It's all
Who says you don't have to be right?
Hey, we are unconscious. Even if we're wrong, we're right. It's not us. So why do you
even if you're wrong, you're not, doesn't make you right? What the heck?
Why are you trying to identify with being right? If you don't have no morals and no values, then you should not try to identify with being right.
You shouldn't be pridefully identifying with what's right, but you should identify with.
No. Our teacher, you go to church and we hear one message, and then you dilute the message all week, and that's not correct. That's not what we're doing.
You have it. Who's your teacher? You said our teacher.
What we learn in church.
Who's your teacher? Who's your church?
Stand on what we learn in church.
What?
Either you're gonna stand on what we learn in church.
Did you learn in church?
Hypocrite.
You're talking about church with Jesse Lee Peterson.
Yes, sir.
Did you learn in church that you're a pharaoh?
Be in church once. You gonna let me talk? Or you gonna talk when I'm?
Did you learn in church? I have a follow up question. Did you learn in church that you're a pharaoh?
Oh, yeah.
You learned in church with Jesse Lee Peterson?
I identify as a pharaoh in my unconsciousness, and they don't, like, I don't even know what they used to do. They done burnt all my history. So in my imagination, I walk around and create what I think a pharaoh is. It ain't like somebody told me how they used to live.
So you're willingly being crazy? I cracked.
No.
God, you're willingly God being crazy?
We all crazy, ain't? No one is sane.
But you're willingly being... But you don't... If you know you're being crazy,
see,
the point of...
Listen, wait.
Let me jump in. Let me jump over you, okay? I'm the host. I can talk over you and interrupt you.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. It's not wise to be crazy willingly. If you know you're crazy,
you want to
hold back being crazy as much as you can. Because it's crazy to just stay crazy just because you know you're crazy.
I'm talking to the audience. This is Hank arguing with Jesse because this is Jesse's law. So this is what you need.
You
to
think
tell
Jesse would disagree with me?
Over there. Yeah, when you scared chicken on the computer over in the corner, you need to say, Jesse, this is what I really think. Because this is, I'm talking as of Jesse, no more, no value. And now you arguing, but when you're in church, you just daddy. And Jesse's right under Paul. Paul was fake.
Paul, the apostle was fake?
Jesse was fake.
Okay, now let me interrupt you now because you're moving into other things.
The top three is just me. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no big three. It's just me.
Hey, Frederick. Rika.
Jesse ain't no Jew.
Rika. Yeah, he is. He's a Jewish. He's the true Jew.
Jesse's not Jewish.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Yes.
He lied to you, Hank. His mama
he didn't
is
lie to me.
Jewish. His mama needs.
I can see he's. I can see he's Jewish.
His mama needs to be a Jew.
He's a true. Nuh-uh. That's the world. So let me go back
that's
to something that you said. Let me go back to
that's
something that
what?
You said. The world.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay, you said, "Hey, audience, Hake is really arguing with Jesse," but that's not true. I'm not arguing with Jesse. I'm arguing with. A fellow
you
insane.
With his propaganda.
Hush. Let me finish my point.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm arguing with a fellow insane person, like I'm insane. I'm arguing with insane Frederick about your insane imagination about what you think Jesse's about.
I'm speaking it word for word.
Words aren't meaning, and you're missing the meaning.
No, I'm not missing the meaning.
Yeah,
and words do have meaning. If you say you don't have morals and values, but you're for what's right, how is that? What's the meaning in that?
What's the
you
meaning
tell
in
people
that?
To get rid of their morals and values, but you're for what's right and against what's wrong. But how do you be for what's right if you have no morals and values?
Ask God.
Ask God. I am God, and I'm asking you because
you're not God. What in the world?
Yeah, I'm God.
Oh,
you can
Lord.
Talk to me.
Where'd you learn that?
It's in me. I was born with this feeling. You know what I'm saying? It's in you.
So being you were born
like
with
that.
The feeling that you're God?
Yep.
I had a feeling that tonight's going to be a good night.
Hey, I might come to the men's forum. It might be.
Okay, just stay sane, though.
Hey, ain't no one sane. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're fine.
Listen.
Okay, go ahead.
But what you was talking about earlier with the white people crying about diversity and everything, and they're the majority.
It was a Jewish man, and he was not crying. You're talking about Stephen Miller?
Quit taking up. You get me.
Go ahead.
Quit getting like...
diversity. Crying about diversity, yes.
Yeah, we need that. We need that. You see how all the jobs they have, DEI...
We need people crying about diversity?
No, the other jobs that don't have diversity are going computer. They are going robot. We talked about this. Capitalism leads to homelessness.
Mm-mm. No, that's communism.
Yes, they want
that's
more
commie capitalism. Commie capitalism leads to homelessness.
Well, it is what it is.
What did you say?
I just wanted to call in and stop you from crying.
Can I explain to you that white commie capitalism leads to homelessness?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
$20 an hour is going to lead to homelessness in other states when people got to keep working at McDonald's for like $10 an hour.
Yeah, we should... abolish the minimum wage, because the minimum wage and all this, all these
that's
businesses.
That's not gonna make people work for less. That'll make you work for less because you don't want to go get a real job. You will take less wages. I think somebody pointed that out. You just want to work for less. Nobody else want to work for less but you.
That's fine. They don't. If they don't. You can't always get what you want. You are subsidizing people's lives, and when you subsidize people's lives, they call minimum wage a living wage. And a living wage,
I'm just subsidizing people's lives.
Because you're forcing a company, a supposedly free company, to pay a no good employee as though he's a good employee. That's dumb. So you're rewarding evil.
They got rank in the military, so you don't think they should have rank in the military?
You should have rank in pay too. Women get nothing. Men get
minimum wage is rank and pay.
Right. Minimum wage is abolishing rank.
No.
Yeah, it's artificially inflating rank.
Oh my God, you stop with the mess. Just stop with the mess.
You don't understand my words or what? What do you mean? Is it not artificially inflating rank? I mean, the inflating pay?
No.
Yes,
lowering the wages is not going to help anybody when
yes,
nobody
it will.
Is
it'll help a lot. If you get these businesses out of bed with the government and shrink the government and abolish minimum wage and free
so
people to
bring slavery back.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
He said, yeah. Get out of here. That's why we're going to get our reparations, people like you. You keep talking like that.
Okay.
We're going to get our reparations. They're going to be like, man, look. Yeah, let's give it to
what's
them.
Wrong with a little slavery? Don't you, aren't you a Marxist?
This ain't right. If you want me to get rid of my morals and values, yeah, we can bring slavery back.
Yes or no? Marxist, yes or no?
I'm an anarchist.
That's no.
Yeah.
No, you're not a righteous anarchist.
I'm not a righteous anarchist.
Because Karl Marx
found me in an unconscious place, and I'm telling the other people they unconscious and love they unconscious, and I don't think they're gonna come out of the hell. They listening to Jesse's message, and I'm like they loving it. And if y'all want to keep pushing it, I'm gonna grow this channel into all black. Have no morals and values. You're going to get exactly what you want. We're going to become what we hate.
Didn't Karl Marx want to abolish wage labor? Because wage labor is wage slavery, debt slavery, wage slavery, stuff like that.
Yeah, you got to go bargain your labor to the...
he wanted to get rid of wage labor, too.
Labor is always going to be like labor.
I have a caller for you in the last few minutes of this first hour. I have a caller for you.
Let's go. Who is it?
Jaime in Minnesota. Jaime in Minnesota, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, what's up? Ooh, your phone's kind of rough.
Yeah, how's it going, Frederick?
That's that Obama phone. What's going on?
Hey, it's good to talk to you.
I've heard you
a lot in the past episodes, and you got a good way about thinking.
I appreciate that. I'm in my own world. I don't let them tell me I'm not a pharaoh. A lot of people don't believe that blacks were the ancient Egyptians and all that. So,
what do you mean he has a good way of thinking? Explain that.
Well, that you think and you come back and you listen to the Haig report and you listen to the JLP and you get some stuff soaked in and you even go to the church, don't you?
Yep.
And that's nice. You know, that's you're open to these ideas, which is great.
Oh, okay.
A lot of
cool.
People aren't, and that's what I mean. But what I wanted to say about the morals and such things is the way that you get these morals is by releasing your emotions. Stop being angry, critical, abrasive. If you stop all those things, you can see situations and see the right and wrong thing to do. And that's how you get these morals. And with this pedophile thing, is a person better than a pedophile? If you have anger, you're not. You're exactly the same. But once you get rid of the anger and those issues, then you are. Because that's when God's spirit comes into you. And then God controls your comings in and goings out. So if you release your anger, you will become better. And when a situation comes up, like you listen about this DEI, you'll be able to be an impartial judge. A judge should not have emotion, should not have anger, should not have pity, should not have any of that. They should be able to see the situation and weigh the pros and the cons and then make a judgment. So if you didn't have this issue with the Christians and the blacks and the whites, you'd be able to judge this.
Do you know what the definition of indignant means?
No.
Well, look it up. We have a
right. Okay, I thought you were going to share it just so that we could talk about it.
Injustice. When we have an injustice, we see an injustice or kids being mistreated, we have a right to act indignant. You don't give up your anger because you become resentful for not standing up for your kids or your wife by sitting there with no emotion and they thinking you beta. You got to protect. You got to be a man. Anger is needed. Mm. So I'm going to talk to you calmly, but you can give away your anger and think you're the same as a pedophile and judge people who have anger as the same as a pedophile. But that gives a pedophile a pass that they don't need to know.
What it does, and this is
at bay. Anger keeps
the reason that I say that is because I'm a Christian.
Let me hear him good. Respond
okay,
to Frederick.
Okay, he's talking as a Christian. Go ahead.
The reason that I have this philosophy is because of my Christianity. Now, I understand that you're not a Christian, right? We are going to have different philosophies just because of that, right there. Our philosophies are going to be completely different. And the words that I use aren't going to be the same words that you use. And there's really going to be no way that we can articulate
the ideas. Do you think no one in the Bible had anger?
So when I say that.
The Bible had anger?
Well, what I'm saying is it doesn't matter who had anger in the Bible or not. What I'm saying is that for
the
people
Bible
like,
say anger is bad.
Well, hold on.
Where did you get the
Let him finish his point, Frederick.
Anger is bad?
The reason that I say that anger is the reason that I say that anger is bad is by my own experience. I used to drink a lot. I used to be what they call an alcoholic.
You're just an alcoholic. That don't mean anger is bad. That means alcohol is bad.
Hold on. In the book Alcoholics Anonymous, they say that nothing brings an alcoholic back to drinking more than resentment, which is anger. It even says in that book, among the people that do that, if you have anger, sooner or later you're going to drink again and you're going to be out.
Resentment is not anger. No, it does not say that.
Resentment is anger. What the heck?
I used to be a sponsor. Time out.
Resentment is being angry at another person or place or thing. So not only is it because of
power. One at a time, Frederick, you're talking when he's talking.
I'm trying to correct him. The first step is that you are powerless. That means you cannot control your anger. You have no power. And think that you have power to control anger, you will drink again thinking you can control your anger. You can't control your drinking. That's why you have a sponsor to call and ask for advice every day. You don't have no power, and once you start thinking you got control, you stay in meetings. You stay being of service. If you're not in that meeting cleaning up or helping
somebody, you're
changing
the subject,
man.
You're going into something completely different from what he's talking
about. Don't blame it on anger, buddy.
The only reason that I brought that up.
Frederick, you're going off.
The only reason that I brought that up
wasn't to conversate about that or the line of thinking. It was just to let you know my experience and why I say that anger is bad.
And
that's the only reason that I brought that up.
Anger every day.
And so the reason why I believe...
I'm putting you on hold, Frederick, if you can't be quiet.
Okay, go ahead, let him talk.
Yeah.
So the only reason that I brought up the alcoholism and that kind of thing is to give you an example, some proof, some receipts that this is the reason why I say
that. That's not true.
Same thing with the
reason why I believe
this way. Same thing with the sex stuff. People who are angry or excited or anything emotional excitement. Hold on, man. Emotional excitement.
That's a whole different book. So I won't bring that up because I don't want to get into that tangent. I just want to tell you that's the proof that I have.
Yeah, the anger feeds that
proof. if you can't accept my proof, then you can't accept what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And this
How
is
can you say that
which
anger,
is
anger
which
is not
is
a God,
at someday, though. Someday you may be able to accept it.
Yeah.
Or at least understand say, okay, this is so. But back to the main point of morals and why the Republican way looks better than the Democrat way.
Uh-huh.
The Republicans say, do it by yourself. You can do it. You can make it. The Democrats say, let us help you. The community will help you.
Right.
And there's two different thoughts, schools of thoughts. They're two completely different. And and a person who comes out of their hell and gets rid of their anger can see which one's better.
No.
And that's all
I think Republicans do have more Christians.
Say that again. Say that again, Jaime. I missed it. The Republicans versus the Democrats have two different schools of thought. What was the point that you made following that?
Well, Republicans they say that you can do it yourself. You can get up by yourself. You can do it.
Yeah.
While the Democrats say, "Let us help you. We all got to help each other and to do something." They want to be a group. And the Republicans say, no, we can do it on our own. They can stand alone.
Being an individual. I put Frederick on hold because he was being a little rude and talking over. Okay. Interesting, man. I agree with that. And there's nothing like... That's the only way you're going to be... That's the only way any of us are going to be saved is by being an individual, not looking at everybody else or other people.
Right. And more to the
Frederick
point
is back
of,
on,
it,
so you can.
And more to the point that you made, Frederick, about Haik and his dynamic with his coworkers and such. That's really up to him, and he's working on himself and getting rid of the anger. So I would trust his methodology on the way that he interacts with people at work more than yours, being as you are an angry person. You defend anger.
Yeah,
I wouldn't trust your judgment on how to act with people, especially at work. It sounds like a great way to lose a job. To follow your if I took your advice,
no,
I would lose my
job.
You gotta
learn how to discern and when to use anger. I ain't saying walk around angry all the time. Y'all getting rid of anger and saying you're the same as a pedophile if you have anger, period.
Say PDF, man. Stop saying that word. Stop saying that word.
Look the other way.
PDF. Hey, Frederick.
Look, can I talk?
Frederick, no. Say PDF. You have to listen before you talk.
All right, PDF.
Yeah.
We gotta
and then don't even say that too much.
Well, okay.
All right, go ahead. Make your point.
If you're the same... If you have anger as a PDF, what stops some people from being a PDF and letting go of their anger and start touching kids?
And that's a good question.
They give up
that
anger
is a great
to start
question.
Touching kids. What's the difference?
And it's like this. It's if you have
I'm asking
anger,
a question.
Yeah, I thought you already asked it.
No, nobody answered. What's the difference from giving up your anger to going to be a PDF?
So the anger is what takes you into this evil. And everybody branches out to different
people. No,
no. So for me, I was drinking and doing drugs. Another person maybe might start thinking that they're God.
Are y'all allowing,
and another person might start thinking about getting into the black thing.
Yeah.
Those are all
symptoms.
Anger. They're symptoms.
You are not holding people accountable. Listen, in the military, Hank, they taught us leadership. Them are morals. Seven of them. Loyalty, duty, respect, honor, selfless service, integrity, personal courage. Those are not things that you let go, and this country will go to in a hell in a handbasket if you don't have men standing up with freaking morals.
Whoa.
Y'all so lady and beta. Y'all need to be beat up every day, everybody see y'all, and then swallow your anger then. If y'all have no anger, just keep on turning the other cheek and then don't do nothing when somebody come in and say something to y'all. You always want to hush me up and get mad or put me on mute. Handle your anger, Hank. Let me talk. Why do you get mad when I'm over-talking on somebody? You should handle your anger and just let me talk then.
Worry about yourself, man.
Yeah, it makes too much noise, right?
You're in your imagination, Frederick.
Anger. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That's just the right thing to do.
Y'all are retarded. Hey,
don't you have to say R-worded.
I have fun calling y'all. It's all Rick. Y'all never make me angry. I'm never angry. I'm retired. I live the best life I could possibly live right here in Beverly Hills.
Are you high? Are you high right now, Frederick?
No.
You have not smoked any weed all day?
I'm not high, Hank.
Have you smoked any weed all day?
I've been on hold. No, I'm holding. I'm about to light this month. I've been waiting, so I'm not choking. I'll be choking and trying to smoke.
Because somebody in the chat, our resident health expert was speculating that you may be. That's the only reason I asked.
LJ Fox don't know me. She just called.
All right, I gotta go. I gotta go. You're not supposed to bash her back. Be a man. Be a man.
Oh, how did I know that's your health?
Take it like a man, Frederick.
That's my friend.
No, I gotta go. Thank you, Jaime. Nice talking with you, man. Appreciate you.
Have a good one.
All right, you too. Bye. Woo. I'm shaking my head. Let's take a break, shall we? It is Work Hard Wednesdays. We're working hard. This is Starfire 59 from the 2002 EP, Can't Stop Eating. This track is entitled Competing. And hope you enjoy it, you musical Philistines. I'll be right back for the rest of hour two. Enjoy Starfire 59. And we'll see what we can do. Bye. See you soon. Right after this.
I will.
thank you guys for bearing with me through arguably, you know, kind of nice music, my opinion. Let me read a few super chats before I get back to the calls. There was some super chats I was remiss in not reading yesterday. Popcorn's Thump Keg stated, in response to one of Jesse's biblical questions asking, do you know who God is? Your response was that you weren't sure if you knew who God was. That's true. Hake did do that. Popcorn's Thump Keg listened to Church with Jesse Lee Peterson. RebuildingTheMan.com/church. YouTube.com/BondInfo. Rumble.com/... Rumble.com/RebuildingTheMan. Yes, Bond Rebuilding the Man is on Rumble. So anyway, Popcorn Thumpkeg says, was it eye-opening for you to realize that you weren't sure that you know who God is, considering that you talk about God and know the Bible? I don't know if it was eye-opening or not. I have long thought, even before JLP said it, he said most Christians are atheists. Most Christians are atheists. It's a fact. Look it up or look into it. Can't really look it up. But I like saying it's a fact. Look it up. That I don't live too differently from, or differently at all, maybe, from how an atheist would live. Were I an atheist and I'm a Christian? Obviously, I was raised Christian, so I have these. I'm a cultural Christian, as Richard Spencer and Richard Dawkins have both said. I guess I'm a cultural Christian. Nick, the American Anchor Baby, played an old clip. Supposedly old clip. I heard it was 5 years old, not sure. Of this atheist, famous atheist activist, a British guy, an Englishman, maybe? Is he? Richard Dawkins saying he's a cultural Christian. He'd rather have Christians running the show in his country than the Muslims. And shout out to the Muslims. But no, it's just because I talk about what's right and wanting what's right and that stuff, to Frederick's point, too, if he had a point, I think you should still kind of want what's right, you know? Even though you don't know what's right and you don't have morals and values, you don't have morality, you don't even live it, you can still, if you should still speak as you see things, I think. Sometimes it is good to be quiet, though, for sure. A lot of the time, it's good to be quiet. A whole H-E-C-K of a lot of the time. A heck of a lot of the time, if I can say heck. Sorry, don't say that too much, kids. It's kind of like people accusing you of hypocrisy if you say, don't drink and you drink. Or don't do the pornography and you do pornography. Or meaning, don't, well, whatever. Say there you're a you know, knowing something is wrong and saying something is wrong, it's still wrong and you're still right to call it wrong, even though if you're doing the wrong thing. Doesn't make you a hypocrite. Maybe it's a hypocrite if you're judging the people, if you're looking down, acting like you're looking down on them. A whole lot of people look down on people. So thank you, Popcorn's Thump Keg. Nice coffee, as usual. Honestly, I'm appreciating those. Star Sion bought 3 coffees. Hank, where is Earl? Earl! I don't know. Maybe he's in heaven. Maybe he's in HE double toothpicks. Maybe he's on Earth. Maybe he's in hell on Earth. Maybe he's in heaven on Earth. I don't know. Single tear crying emoji, full-blown river crying emoji down the face. I watched your 2 years ago episode with his call on it. Let's assume, does he have old-timers? Meaning Alzheimer's. I went to visit an Alzheimer's place, volunteer there. Forced volunteerism, which is to say slavery, when I was at the Christian college. A senior center with a bunch of people with Alzheimer's. Had a black guy take a swing at me. The one black guy there, he kind of walked cool, but he got mad. And I kind of deserved it. But anyway, or he passed, says Starcyon. Don't know. He was turning kind of evil at the end, listening to the mainstream media, laughing face with tears coming out emoji. Thank you, Starcyon. Yeah, for your three coffees. Underappreciated. Earl was underappreciated when he was here. That's why you got to stay present, I guess. Then you have a better chance of appreciating stuff. It's interesting trying to stay present. And you're trying to, because sometimes you get greedy. Oh, I'm at the beach. I want to take it all in. You get greedy for the experience. Anybody relate to that? You know what I mean? At all? Let me keep it moving, though. Over on Cash App, yesterday I was remiss in not reading a Cash App donation, James Anton Hake. Or my great-grandpa called it Anton. James Anton Hake. I didn't know him, but I was named after him. James Anton Hake on Cash App. My friend Justin, says David, is a beta! He needs Hake. Really? Needs Hake like a hole in the head. Well, you need some holes in your head. How else are you going to sweat or sneeze or speak or breathe or hear? Another hole in the head you don't necessarily need. Right on. Thank you, David. That's kind. Shout out to Justin, the beta. Right on. Oh, were there any others? Shout out to the guys over on DLive, GMD Jim, very supportive guy. Thank you, man. Otto Rocks, subscribing there. Jake Hudson, host and Hake, that's cool. Over on Rumble, I think we're all caught up. Oh, was there a Rumble rant that I missed the other day? I feel like there was a Rumble rant I missed the other day. There was. Let's see. Bum, bum, bum. Yeah, Prep Ham Paul, I did Google the reverse swastika. Jen Mole donated. Yeah, Jen Mole donated yesterday a Rumble rant saying, great show and great callers. Common sense without motive is refreshing and rare these days. Thank you. I think I did read that one. WT1 gave a Rumble rant. Oops, I hit my thing. I hit my pro-Semitic, because we're pro-Semitic here. There he is. WT1 donated Hake with the good hair. Texit. Thank you, WT1. Texit is short for Texas Exit, which is to say he wants to secede from the Union. Well, we wish you well with that. Whatever happens, Lord's will be done. Yeah, just a little explanation on the reverse swastika. The right-facing swastika is a Japanese one used to mark the location of a Buddhist temple. The right-facing swastika, that's the one where it points. I don't know. How is it called right-facing if it's pointing that way? Reverse swastika. Gyaku manji. Hopefully that's not some bad word. Or Miji Manji, literally right swastika. And also can call be a Kaji Juji, literally hook cross. Hakenkreuz. Nice. Anyway, it's kind of a cool thing. Cool design. And shout out to Lisa, our resident health expert. Belated happy birthday, by the way. Nice. Okay, so James in New York is on the line here. Before I get back to these stories, James, thanks for calling and holding there. What's up?
Hey, Hake, I wanted to tell you a joke.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
He's laughing about it already. I can relate. I laugh before I tell jokes, too, sometimes.
No, I'm just saying the energy changed, because, like, before, it was a little bit heated, and now I'm trying to come in and be like, oh, I have something silly to say.
Okay, so. Yeah, you're fine. It wasn't heated. Well, I think the only person who sounded like he might have been heated was Frederick.
Yeah, you know what I think? I think Frederick, maybe the people around him, are so tired of arguing with him about things unnecessarily that he has to sometimes call people to argue with them because nobody wants to hear it around him anymore, maybe. I don't know. But I hope, wish the well best for him, you know. But besides that, no, I want to tell you a joke. And it's kind of funny because I remember I was like 8 years old and I was at the beach with my parents. And I didn't even make up this joke. I just overheard like a family saying it. And it just like stuck in my head. And I've never been able to forget it. I only heard it once. But it was a guy. I'm assuming he was like, you know, a part of his church. So like he was saying like a bunch of like religious jokes at the table. And there was one that I was paying attention to. And he said, okay, so there's a priest. His town has just flooded. A big flood came, so you know everyone is trying to stay alive. You know, so the priest is floating around in this river on a log, and a rescue boat comes to him, and the rescue boat says, "Come on, dude, get in the boat. We got to go help you and save other people. We got to get out of here." And the priest says, "No, thank you. Use my space to save other people. My God will save me. I'll be fine here." And they said, okay, and they leave. And another hour later goes by, another rescue boat comes to the priest. And again, the priest says, they tell him, get in the boat. And the priest is like, no, go save other people. My God will save me. I'll be fine. And they're like, okay. And then one more time, like 3 hours later, one more boat comes. They're like, come on, get in the boat. He says, no, same thing. And then they leave, and then the priest drowns. He dies, and he goes to heaven, and he sees God. And God is like, oh, thank you, Michael. It's good to see you here finally. And the priest is upset with God. He's like, God, all my life I worshipped you. I guided people and spread your message, and I can't believe, how could you let me die in that river? And God looks at him and says, I could have sworn I sent three boats down there.
Nice. Got him. that's so like, true. Go ahead.
And then, like, I was hearing something. What reminded me of the joke is that, you know, Jesse was talking about something recently where he's like, God ain't going to tell you what he's doing for you. You know, he's not going to come and talk to you and just, like, say it to you out blank. Sometimes he will just give opportunities, and if you see him and have the wherewithal to see the opportunities God is putting in front of you, then that's when, you know, you can make that connection with God. And I, when I heard Jesse saying that, I was like, oh, maybe that explains the joke. It's like God was looking out for you, but you were so maybe prideful in thinking that God was going to walk out to you and show you the way holding your hand that, you know, you would be blinded to not see the blessing that was coming your way.
Yeah. I like that word, wherewithal. W-H, I think it's, let me see, wherewithal. W-H-E-R-E.
I don't know how to spell it.
W-I-T-H-A-L, wherewithal. I think I got that word from my big brother. And wherewithal is another word for awareness. Presence of mind, have the presence of mind, have the wherewithal to, oh no, a shooter's coming in. I had the wherewithal to ankle pick or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that a grappling reference?
Yeah.
thank you.
To see what to do and do it. Presence of mind, calmness, not freeze up and nervous. Whoa. Why are you getting nervous, man? Shout out to Joe Biden. Hey, he wants you to have wherewithal, Mr. Nervous Journalist. Yeah, so I agree. That's God-given body to use your body, God-given mind to see the opportunities to stay present and not worry. He tells you not to worry. Not mm-hmm. this waiting for some miracle thing. People, you know, the atheists think, oh, there's no God, otherwise I would have seen a miracle. When God gave you the body and mind to have reason, but you've rationalized God away, and forgotten forgotten that God gave you reason, you know? So
yeah,
that's nice. I like that. I like that joke.
Okay, cool. I was nervous. I didn't, like, I'm sure.
Why are you getting nervous, so man?
Because I don't know. I know it's silly, but I appreciated the silliness of it, and then kind of the message of
yeah.
it that I was able to.
Because it's so a true.
I didn't know if you would care about that. Or
some
not.
Of the best jokes are true. It's like,
oh, that's
how
right.
does every black joke start? Look around for blacks.
Oh,
that's how every black joke. I got that from one of my Mexican liberal friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway,
I was actually looking for like a literal like start. So I got my, you know, I don't know.
He was nervous. Big Mitch 909 says he's nervous because we all heard the joke before.
Oh, yeah, that could be it. That could be it.
That's funny, man.
Wait,
I appreciate
so you
your
heard
call.
The joke before?
Had I heard it? Yeah, I had heard it before,
okay,
but I liked.
I'm sorry.
No. It's a great joke. A great joke is worth hearing more than once.
All right.
Especially with your energy.
Thanks for the dealing with that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed your Easter and stuff.
And by the way,
enjoy the rest of your-
I did. By the way, Rika, which we call him Rika. Is short for Frederick, and he's okay with Rika. He said he'd just be yelling. He wasn't. He didn't.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't mean that he's mad. Kind of
okay,
like Jesus
good.
Tore up the temple, money changers, or he gave a hard look, looked at them with anger. He looked at them with anger, but it was a angry look. It wasn't this evil spirit of anger, like a mama anger.
Mm-hmm.
So Frederick was yelling like a man.
Yeah, I hear you.
Anyway, appreciate you, James, in New York. Thanks, man.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Ben in Rhode Island on the line here. Ben, thanks for calling and holding there. How you doing, man?
Hey, great. Thanks for having me on. I spoke with you a long, long time ago. And
right on.
I got banned off the channel. I don't know if you remember me, but...
Yeah, I remember you.
Okay, yeah. I wanted to follow up just on your thoughts, because I'm in a situation where I feel like in the United States of America, it's illegal to be a man.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because I can't contact my minor children, nor can I contact my daughter who lives with me at this point, because I laid hands on women in a way that was very minor. But in our society...
So you gave a little push or something, maybe, or some allegedly.
I pushed my daughter with my foot, yeah, when she really annoyed me, and
yeah.
With her mother...
And so the law is involved.
I knocked the glasses off her face when my son was facing a criminal charge because he was violating a no contact order, and I had to get her to get serious about the situation. And so, and I actually am, I have cases pending where I'm likely to lose custody of my kids
okay.
forever until they're 18.
Yeah.
Based on that affidavit that she said that I did that, which she, of course, exaggerated into punching. But my question is, can you...
She being the like an ex-wife or the daughter or something, or what?
Well, she's still currently the
wife. Or the
wife.
Oh, okay, the wife.
She's doing it through divorce. She's trying to get...
Oh, yeah.
That
happens...
Hey.
Trump faced all kinds of crazy accusations against... from his then wife becoming an ex-wife, and years later she's like, "Oh no, I was just angry," and
right.
I love him.
right.
Anyway, go ahead.
Right, but actually, the courts have upheld.
Right.
In my daughter's case, we're doing it on a stream.
Before you go forward, I don't feel right hearing about all this stuff, especially if it's an ongoing situation.
Hmm.
Because it could be used against you, and I don't want to get involved and all that stuff.
No. I mean, we could just talk about it generally.
Okay.
I'm not trying to go into the details. But what I'm saying is, it seems like our society thinks that a man cannot lay hands on a woman in anger or whatever to control her. And I don't think it's possible to be a man and take, I'm not saying that that should be a thing you do every day.
Yeah.
And I don't think you should do it excessively.
Right.
But I don't think you can have a relationship with any other adult where you say, like, where a man says, like, I'm never going to touch this other person
right.
without asking for consent or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's possible to be a man in America. Maybe that's just because they live in a blue state. But even in my daughter's case, she said, I'm not a victim at all. We were acting and, you know what I mean? And they still said, like, it's against the law. How? What I'm saying is,
okay.
like, it's insane. It's just crazy and... I don't know if you could fight it, because it seems to be this case that, especially if it's a female that you touch.
Just be glad. I say, man, say you lose access to your kids, your minor children.
Mm-hmm.
Let it be, because don't expect justice in the world.
Yeah, it does seem crazy.
And be glad that that's all that's happening, because they could, I mean, if they could, they would try to throw you in jail and all kinds of crazy stuff. So just cut it off there, cut your losses, and maybe there is something that you can learn from it. Certainly, this, you're in this situation because you were wrong too in some form. And
no.
Accept that wrong, like a husband and wife. When there's a conflict between a husband and wife, the husband never should have been husbanded the wife, maybe, or you know, there's all kinds of wrong steps that you took. So even if you don't feel that it's just,
that's true.
Just know that we deserve what we get in life, and we get what we need in life. This is a challenge. If there's anything inward that's bothering you about it, overcome that before you try to rectify whatever situation on the outside.
But are you saying that a man can never put his hands gently on a woman?
I'm saying probably that's the case nowadays. Not that I agree with it, but just that's the way it is. You know what I mean? And I'm also saying you
be a man.
What's that? How do you be a man?
Then you can't be a man.
Yeah, you have to be a. You have to limit yourself. Yeah, you have to limit yourself.
So you can't. But even when it's like, even out of love,
right?
Like sometimes someone might need a little bit of a correction, and
there may be other cases where men do. Do a little shove or a nudge or a push or a press or even possibly a slap without consent, in which it was done righteously and he got away with it because the feds didn't find out about it, or feds, but you know what I mean.
Mm.
People may do stuff and get away with it. There may be cases where people do stuff and get away with it. But that wasn't the case for you.
Well,
I'm saying
like a situation, sometimes a woman will get panicked. And sometimes like shaking her shoulders will say like, come on, like this is a situation in which like there's a life and death situation.
Uh-huh.
Of course, you have to do that as a man to say like, get yourself together, woman. Right?
Maybe.
Because let's say your kids are facing like a really dangerous situation. Everybody would come up with a situation, right? If your kid's about to, you know, fall off a cliff or something, right? You're going to, like, whatever you need to do to let them know, like, you're in danger.
Right.
You're going to do, of course.
They're trying to get it to where you can't even touch your kids without consent. That's how crazy these women are getting. Can I change your diaper? Dumb stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Right.
It's insane.
Right. Everything could be seen as abuse I just don't even think it's possible to be. I don't think it's possible to exist in society as a man. But I'm questioning. Like I'm wondering. So you're saying violence can sometimes be the right thing to do. You agree with me about that?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, there's times.
Okay.
Yeah, I think everybody agrees with that, really.
I agree. I do think everybody thinks that.
Every human being agrees with a time for violence. Yeah. Probably everyone. And even if they don't agree with it, there's a time that they did it, and they felt like they were right about it, and other people would agree with them.
Yeah, okay. And I would distinguish that from, like, disproportionate violence,
of course.
Inordinate violence or something, where you're, like,
but you don't want to hold on to this idea and, like, try to get other people to see it, because then you're just in your ego and you're not learning.
You shouldn't. But I'm having this conversation with you. You're saying it's wrong for me to have this conversation with you?
I'm not necessarily saying you're wrong, but I'm saying if this is an idea that you're holding on to, that you want everybody to catch on to, and it's something they're caught up with your ego, you want to watch that so you don't feed that.
You mean to make, like, into a movement or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying in my particular case, I can't say, like, the town that I live in, that you cannot enact violence in our town. So I'm like, well, of course I can. I have to. So I don't know whether should I renounce masculinity and hand the judge my genitals that I've cut off, or I mean, I just don't see another way around it other than to say, like, I'm not doing that. And it puts a lot of people in. I'm not going to go to jail, but, like, a lot of people, especially, you know, there are a lot of black folks who watch your show. A lot of black men are in jail for stuff like that.
Yeah,
where
they call it DV. They call it DV, domestic violence.
Yeah, DV. Yeah, yep. And a lot of black women have a type of attitude that really does require a firm hand. They call it BWA, black women attitude, and a lot of them have it because they're angry.
Yeah,
and sometimes men. Say, like, all right, that's enough.
A lot of the time the men don't know how to deal with it, though, and and that's all they can blindly see to do is the violence. And
yeah, I understand that.
They're caught up and
they have their mother's anger as well. But there can be a good man who says, like, all right, I'm gonna take
Sean Connery. The reason why I brought up the slap is because of that Sean Connery clip where he was talking with Barbara Walters, I guess. She's like,
yep, I remember.
You said it's okay to slap a woman. I didn't love that. And he's like, well, I stand by it because there's a time where a woman will not drop a point and you even let her have the point and then she'll still bring it up. And he said, then I think it's right. And so anyway, I say don't try to argue or reason with the judge. Just keep silent like Jesus was.
Yeah, okay, so don't even...
Jesus suffered injustice. Why can't you?
He sometimes did, though. He sometimes said, like, you know, he did defend himself sometimes.
He snuck out of being stoned to death. So, of course, there's a time to sneak. There's a time to argue your case. There's a time to be silent.
Right. I guess my question is, in those moments where you do have that, let's say, apart from the legal situation, you do have a little bit of anger at that point. Like, with a child, you get a little angry with them. But I would say that's the same thing as, like, righteous anger as opposed to disproportionate anger or wrath or something like that. And I do think there's a very big distinction between the two. And I don't even think Jesse, like, really would say in that case, anger is inordinate. Like you said, when our Lord ran the money changers out of the temple. Of course, he had a sort of what you would call anger in order to do that. And then he actually used violence as well in a limited way because that was his father's place. So do you agree that it's sort of nuanced? It's not just anger and violence that are a problem, but inordinate anger and inordinate violence are a problem.
I think that emotions and pride are evil. And a lot of the anger and resentment is a prideful self-righteousness, whether it's expressed or not. Even if you're inwardly suffering with it, you want to suffer with it inwardly. INWARDLY.
Yeah.
But even right there, you laughed, right? That's an expression of an emotion, you could say, right? Or when you laughed at the guy's joke.
Mm-hmm.
That, it's not like, what I think when Jesse Lee Peterson's talking about it, he's using a word to mean only one way in which the word can be used. And, like, it's like if you say no emotions make any sense, then how did our Lord, where it says Jesus wept,
uh-huh,
are you saying he didn't experience an emotion where he wept? Of course he did. And he expressed it in weeping, right? I mean, isn't that obvious?
He did weep according to the Bible, and the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. It's so in the Bible, it's a fact. But the thing you don't want to do is get into your imagination about what he was feeling and think that you're feeling what he was feeling when you're crying, because then you're just in your imagination.
But this is more complicated than you need to make it, right? He obviously experienced sorrow, which is an emotion, and wept, just like any other human being, when he finds out his friend is dead.
No, it wasn't when he found out his friend was dead, because he found out his friend was dead before he cried.
Right, he found out his friend was dead, and then he...
No, he cried. He cried. He wept. He didn't cry. It was after Jesus. Why didn't you get here before he died? People think they know why he wept, but it doesn't say why he wept.
Yeah, but I mean, we can. And also, are you saying like in the cleansing of the temple that he didn't experience anger?
It doesn't say that he experienced anger at that point.
Okay. So
does it?
So you don't think that our Lord experienced emotion?
I'm not saying that he did, that I think that he did or didn't. I don't know. My position is not to assume or jump to some conclusion just because he took some action or wept or looked. There was a time where he healed the people. He healed on the Sabbath, and he healed the guy who had a shriveled hand or something on the Sabbath. And he said, which is better, to do good or to do evil on the Sabbath? To save life or to kill it or something like that? And he looked around at the people with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, at the Pharisees or teachers of the law and stuff. And so it says that, but I'm saying don't get into your imagination about, I'm looking around at these hard-hearted people like Jesus was looking at these hard-hearted people. I'm saying people get into their imaginations and get all self-righteous thinking they're being like Jesus, and they're being phony Christians.
Yeah, maybe, but what I'm saying is, like, you say common sense. We have common sense. If it says, like, the woman touched his hem and he turned to her and felt compassion towards her, common sense would say that he experienced that as an emotion because she had such faith and, you know, right? I mean,
I don't know if that's what common sense
imagination
is.
Well, I mean, when you laugh, or your own experience, when you laugh at a joke, there's a certain delight you take, right? You like it points something out.
But these are kind of, I think you're getting into your intellect, because these are intellectual points that you're making. Common sense is God-given. God gives you good sense to take the boat when the boat comes to save you from the island. That's what common sense is. Common sense isn't, Jesus had experienced this emotion or not.
It is common sense. Well, I would say it's common sense that people experience emotions all the time. I think what maybe you're saying is like inordinate emotion and inordinate thinking. Because obviously you can't possibly think that having a thought is wrong, because you need to have a thought to have any expression of the thought in language.
Okay,
I mean,
nice.
That's just obvious.
I follow you, man. I get your points. I get your points. Appreciate you being in Rhode Island, man.
Subtler. All right.
You've taken me all way. I got to run. Take care, man.
All right. Thank you.
Drew in the United States, I cannot get to you, man, or I could not get to you. He dropped off. And the rest of the callers and the super chatters, I can't go. I can't do this. I got to play Wolf Eyes Wednesdays. It's time to leave, guys. Go away. Catch Joel Friday TV next. This is Dead Hills 2. And
only Christian because
I'm not sorry, but forgive me. This is a 2002 album, Dead Hills. Bye. I love this. Oh no, it's already too late. Let's do it though. Dead Hills 2. Oh man, let's skip it. Let's skip it. No, let's do it. Let's do it. Dead Hills. Dead Hills. It's not in there. Music. Oh, you're right. It's not in there. Oh, you're right. It's not in there. Terrible. Okay, well, I guess we have to skip Wolf Eyes Wednesday. Let's do the alt end then song then. That gives me a little bit more time. False ending with Hake. Let's do Walk Like Jesus, but not right now. I don't think. Let's do Walk Like Jesus. But that means I have a couple more minutes. My bag. Terrible. Let me double check for any remaining super chats, guys. Pardon me, I went so long and I didn't even realize it. Got some super chats over from buymeacoffee.com. Oh, man. At this point, just call me Mike, says Dr. Xiangguo, one of the scientists fired from Canada's top infectious disease laboratories in Winnipeg, intentionally shared scientific information with China and provided China with the Ebola genetic sequence in 2019. Can you do a report on this, please, Hake? Thank you. Okay, thank you, Mike. Popcorn's Thump Keg, I'm not going to be able to get to your Super Chat, nor Goat Biscuit with your coffee, nor Kirkland with your three coffees. I'll have to read them tomorrow because we got to get to Mary Rice Hopkins Wednesdays, guys. You are spared from Wolf Eyes Wednesdays. Walk Like Jesus. Shout out to Ben in Rhode Island. Adios, America. Joelle Friday TV coming up next. Bye.
I want to walk like Jesus. I want to go wherever he goes. I want to walk like Jesus, for I know he loves me so. I want to walk like Jesus. I want to go wherever he goes. I want to walk like Jesus, for I go, he loves me so. If I
love's so hard to do.
I want to walk like Jesus. I want to go wherever he goes. I want to walk like Jesus, for I know he loves me so. Jesus, I want to go
wherever he goes. Correction.
Walk like Jesus.
Made me think of The Shining. It's not gay, it's Christian and children's music. It's pretty gay. Whatever. Gay means happy. For the Bible tells me so. The whistle. Whatever, Karen Williams. Adios, America. Bye.